We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Clay Link here with Todd Zola of RotoWire and Masters Ball. Good to have you with us on this Friday morning, April 16th. Of course, on this show, we're going to be looking ahead to next week, two star pitchers for the week of April 19th. So we'll give all of the two star options for next week a grade on a 0 to 5 scale. Todd, how are you in this morning?
Well, as we talked a little off air, I could move my camera and show you the snow. That's how I'm doing.
Even up here in Wisconsin, we don't have snow anymore.
It was supposed to rain, but I didn't know it was supposed to snow. So maybe I looked up the forecast in Boston, and I'm a little bit outside of Boston. I don't know. But, it'll go away. I don't know if the Boston will play tonight. We shall see. There's actually weather all across the country. The Midwest, Colorado again. So, what Clay and I talk about in the next few minutes will be subject to change.
Yeah, card subject to change, as they say in the pro wrestling world, and we will do our best. Of course, the projected starters grid over at RotoWire, customizable, so you can start on April 19th, and that's what we'll be doing. This will be updated regularly throughout the weekend and next week, so this is a very tentative approach, and we'll also start to throw some one-off, one-start guys in the mix, some names that you may not know, or you may just want to take a second peek at in your fantasy league. And before we get into the two-star pitchers, I'll just, as I usually do, run through some of the stake league free agent pickups, because we have free agency run overnight, Thursday, Friday. Todd's not in this league, but I'll just throw out some numbers just so you have an idea of maybe what you could expect this weekend. Lou Trevino for 29, if he's still out there. Probably going to command a pretty hefty price. Corey Knebel, I was surprised to see go 18. But it does look like Corey Knebel is pretty clearly the next man up to Jansen. Now, I know it was David Price yesterday, got his first career save. But not so much Trinan, not so much, I know Gratterall has been on the IL. But I'm a little surprised that it's Knebel who's separated himself and gotten back into some saves after his time with Milwaukee.
Yeah, I don't know. That could be a not so much work in progress, but transient. Jansen looks good, then he doesn't, but then he looks good again. So I think he's still got the job, but I don't know if I'm gonna go all in on Knebel. That's not really all in. I'm not even. It may not be Knebel that gets the next one. It could be a matchup thing. Who's hot? Who's pitching well at the time?
Yeah, I thought it was weird that Jansen had pitched on, I think, Wednesday night, but then his prior appearance was like April 11th. So I was a little surprised he didn't go back to him yesterday. And he has looked okay, Jansen, but I could see some others getting saves there, maybe Knable and maybe some Trinan here or there. But I do think Jansen has a decent leash. Jed Lowry, 16 in this RotoWire Stake League, a 16-team mix league. Huascar Ulloa for 11. I had him at, I think, 9, and I'm kind of mad I didn't bump him up. On this show last week, I didn't give him much love for his two-step, but Huascar Ulloa is looking pretty solid. Didn't he strike out 10? Yeah, struck out 10. It was against the Marlins, but that's an eye-opening type of performance for me.
Yeah, this is the first week I'm running through the rest of season projections. So I'm in the early part of the alphabet, so I got to Atlanta. And you kind of forgot Soroka may not be back to the second half.
Yeah, right? it's shoulder now.
Right, so it's not so much a fill-in anymore for Ulloa. It's a chance to take the job.
And Freed's out, too. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, is Freed – well, we haven't listed next week. I haven't checked into the note. We haven't listed in the grid next week, so maybe he's coming. But still.
I guess he'd technically be eligible to return, but that might be pushing it.
Yeah, I think – he may, yeah, they need to get him right. Unfortunately, there's no AAA to send him to get a little confidence back. But, yeah, for sure. But, I joked about this on Twitter. The way my mind works, any new young player with the last name of an older cruddy player, I think is not very good. So I think Gabriel Ulloa. So, I just had to get it through my skull that I need to remember that it's not Kyle Davies. It's Zach. Well, not that Zach Davies is all that great anyway. But, yeah, it's just kind of a weird thing. So, he's going to know. You don't want to go overboard. As we're learning, there's a lot of early season good performances followed by not so good. But the Braves have a good pedigree, good catchers to throw to. So, yeah, why not?
Yeah, Huascar Ulloa may actually be their ace because more bad news for this Braves rotation. Drew Smyly placed on the IL on Friday today. So left forearm inflammation for Smyly. So, well, we have Freed in for next Friday on 4:30. That's the earliest possible date he will be eligible. Smyly, it's looking like, so him and Ian Anderson, Ulloa, Morton, Ian Anderson, Kyle Wright. We'll see what they do with that fifth spot. But, that was definitely one that I was not expecting from Ulloa. And good for him. He's definitely put himself on the fantasy map. Philip Evans went for 10. Kevin Kiermaier. Kohei Arihara for 4. Wilson Ramos. This is only a one-catcher league, but kind of hard to believe he was still out there. In the SiriusXM Dynasty League I'm in, it's a total bases league, and he's second on my team in total bases behind Acuna. Kind of loving it. Brian Garcia for 3, Molina for 3, Connor Brogdon for 2, Renato Nunez for 2. People looking to fill some holes here, obviously, on the roster. Aaron Sanchez for 1, Brett Gardner for 1, Tanner Houck for $1 to James. Then for a buck, I dropped Dalton Jeffries and added Alek Manoah of the Toronto Blue Jays because, Todd, they called up Anthony Kay to make that start yesterday. We were all waiting on that lineup forever.
Yeah.
And he got rocked, Anthony Kay. So I'm just looking at that team, and for Alek Manoah, it looks like opportunity is not too far off.
Yeah. I haven't checked the notes yet. We have Pearson in the grid next week. So Nate Pearson. Mm-hmm. So maybe our
stretch.
Yeah. The staff might be anticipating Pearson coming up a bit. He's out with a groin. He's eligible to come back the 25th. So I don't know if it's eligible or not. I'm not even sure if he's on the IL, but we have him for the 25th. So maybe he may not even be eligible to come back if he is we don't have him on the IL. So this is kind of a RotoWire meeting on a pod here, folks. Behind the scenes,
Pearson?
Look,
we have Pearson on the IL.
Okay, so we have estimated return on the 25th. So he could come back well before that, right? Because he's been on almost the entire season.
Yeah, I think he's eligible at any point. But I guess he's throwing out 100% intensity on the mound, excuse me, that according to Keegan Matheson of MLB.com. Hard to gauge, though, without, minor league rehab assignments.
Exactly where
the guy's at. But that report said he was throwing at 100% intensity on the mound, Nate Pearson.
So, we'll get to it. We've got him next Sunday. debuting against Tampa, but that very well could be Manoah. He may even, you know, TJ Zoitz is not doing a whole lot, taking up one of the spots as well. So that's interesting. The AL East, at least that's a little early, but it's a little more bunched than people may have thought it would be early on. So all these starts early are important.
Yeah, I kind of dunked on the Red Sox after they went 0-3 and swept at home by O's on opening weekend. Then they rattle off, what, 9 straight wins?
9 in a row. 9 in a row. Tampa and Baltimore swept. Oh, you know what? I've been dunking on, use your word, the doubleheaders, right? The 7-8 doubleheaders. Even though the Red Sox swept the Twins, humble brag, it felt empty. You know, I mean, they were both close games, and it kind of felt empty. I felt like we were deprived of 4 innings of some solid baseball. It was weird.
Yeah, those are really weird. Who's the new? I should know this off the top of my head, but I'm pretty tired this morning. Who's the new Seattle closer?
Well, Middleton got the save, but it was Kendall
Middleton
Graveman.
Got the save in game two, right?
Yeah, Kendall Graveman, who was always our buddy Lars' favorite.
Yeah, but he was pitching
when he was
in
with
the
Oakland.
That's right. I love Lars, and he did love Kendall Graveman. But he was pitching in the seventh, and I was like, oh, I thought Graveman was maybe taking over, but then I was like, I had to recalibrate. It's a 7-inning game. Yeah. That's why he's in for the.
It's all over Twitter, right? I mean, everybody's doing it. You know, you have to remember if it's a doubleheader or not. And like I said,
you ready?
Showtime
on May 3rd. Summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With today's weather, we're probably going to be having a few more of those over the course of the weekend.
I got to punch in. I'm actually right now changing our closer grid. Kendall Graveman.
Oh, I thought you had to punch in like the RotoWire time clock. I didn't know you were by the hour.
I got to put in Montero as in waiting now, probably behind Middleton. Because it does look to me like Graveman's got it. I know they kind of weren't – they didn't like make the changing of the guard official, I guess is what I'd say. But it does sound pretty clearly like – or at least given the trends, it looks like Kendall Graveman has – wrestled that job away. We'll see, but
he's hitting triple digits.
Yeah, he's like a relief ace all of a sudden. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Like any good team, hiring the right employees for your front office is just as important as recruiting the best players for the game. That's why you need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Sorry. Also, Mackenzie Gore, kind of like in that similar vein with Alec Manoa, he was picked up and stashed for a buck. Jose Marmolejos, people getting a little desperate here. Garrett Whitlock, Tyler Matzik, Josh Fleming. I added Brandon Crawford just because I don't know what's going on with Altuve. On the new COVID list, though, they're going to be activated at any time, no minimum stay, so I may just rock with Altuve and hope for the best. But it's hard to go the guy, especially because we have lineup periods Friday through Thursday with that overnight right. Thursday fab. It's hard to know when Altuve is going to be back. But again, he can return at any time. So just hard to know what to do with those Astros this weekend.
Bro, that was a weird scenario. And Scott Jensted, I believe, was involved in the Twitter thread, a couple of us, because it was too early for the second booster to have ill effects after the second booster, but it was pretty well known Houston got the first booster, sorry, not the first shot, right before the season. So, like, it was just odd that everybody came out. It sounded like, and then what McCullers was saying, I shouldn't have pitched, I felt terrible. It sounded like a reaction from the second injection, but it wasn't. There was a positive test. So everybody traveled to Seattle. So we'll find out soon enough whether they're able to play. They have not gotten their second injection yet. So it was too early. It wasn't the 3 or 4 weeks, depending on which company they got. So that was kind of, you know, a nice, interesting Twitter discussion about, and then we got, you know, on my second shot, I felt like this and that. So I got mine coming up in about 2 weeks. So we're not together on a Wednesday, so you won't get the grumpy Zola after his second shot.
I hope that goes well. I saw our buddy Jason Collette was saying some. He was pretty ragged and tired, but then he was feeling a lot better the next day. So good to hear there with Jason. I think that's it for pickups. Let me take a real quick look at the Derek Van Riper's mixed keeper league. Yeah, Enoa was a big one there. Alex Cobb, what a great outing he had.
The thing is back.
10 Ks for him. That was kind of crazy. Kyle Higashioka I picked up. This is a two-catcher league. I had Higashioka going in labor. That's always great when you get a, you know, double dong day from your $1 second catcher in only league. That was nice. I saw you had a pretty good week. You didn't have Carlos Rodon, did you, in that league, Todd?
I don't. Did I? At this point, I don't recall.
I don't know. I just saw you'd moved up the standings a fair amount.
Well, I couldn't go anywhere else. I couldn't go anywhere else. Yeah, you know, it's still a rough start, and you know, listen, people want to screenshot their high standings in labor, tout, and TGFBI. You know, who am I to say no? But it's like, what would we say if an arbitrary team got out to a 2-0 lead in the first inning, in their social media manager? Hey, look up! We're up 2-0. We're going to win this game. we would be dunking on the social media manager. So hey, let's calm down on the two. I'm just having fun. No, you're not. Yeah, you're not having fun. You're bragging that you're in a first place in a league after 2 weeks. Come on.
Yeah, I did that too myself. I even said, you know, and screenshotting on April 12th is no better than doing it on April 2nd. But I just did it because, like, after that Higashioka game, I'd gained like 16 points. It just shows how fluid things are. You can gain a lot of points in a day, even from a catcher double dong. But I guess I don't know who had that no-no from Rodon, but for some reason, I thought it was you, but I guess not.
I do not. Unfortunately, it would be like me to have him on my bench.
I think it was Chris Liss is who I was thinking of, and that was a different league, obviously, because he's not in AL labor. But some RotoWire guy had him going somewhere.
I picked up Rodon in the RazSlam that week.
Oh,
in the
RazSlam, nice.
You know, that was I mean, as you know, just putting a string of bids together, and I did get him that. So there's something. Yeah, no, I'm looking at the labor, and I don't know if any who may have jumped out this week. I don't know for sure, but I've been Brad Kellard so far. Adam Ottavino so far. So
I have eaten both of those actually in a league myself. So I feel your pain. Brad Kellard's doing a lot of damage. But yeah, hopefully we can make it up. and we'll try our best with
He's back on track. He'll be back on track.
Yeah, so we'll get into it. Two-star pitchers for the week of April 12th, 2020. I keep saying the wrong date. April 19th, 2021. Again, 0 to 5 scale. If we had 5 leagues, how many are we starting these pitchers in? Zach Gallen made his return, didn't go all that far, but struck out 8 and looked pretty much like himself in his debut. 3 hits against the A's. It was over 4 innings. A couple walks, but again, 8 Ks. Now he gets at Cincinnati, at Atlanta. A couple reasonably tough matchups, but I think you're pretty happy to get Gallen back, and I'm probably going to say a 5.
Yeah, he had the flow going too, huh?
Yeah, he did.
Something neither of us know anything about.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, nothing. Yeah, we don't know anything about that. Yeah, no, it's a 5. Whether or not, even if he only goes 4 innings, you're starting him on the hopes that he goes 5, sneaks out a win. Did look really good. Maybe let him go a little further. Sure, for sure, he's a 5.
Nice. Now for both Atlanta and Baltimore, they only have 5 games next week, so no 2-star pitchers. We'll be keeping an eye on Atlanta, see what they do. Freed's going to be back after the minimum. Or what's going to happen, but technically no 2-star options for either of those teams lined up. And then for your Red Sox, Todd, Nate Eovaldi and Eduardo Rodriguez both lined up for 2. Now, it looks like this White Sox series is a wraparound, so it's going to be Eovaldi versus the White Sox, then Erod versus Toronto, and then they both get Seattle at the end of the week. Eovaldi's really made me eat my words so far. He's had a really good start. 2-1 for Nate Eovaldi, 2.08 ERA, 0.92 WHIP. I'm not putting him in the 5 range, but I think you got to say, I don't know, a couple home matchups. I think he's probably like a 4.
Yeah, they're both 4s to me. They're going to be ranked pretty high in the top 25, but double starts will do that to you. Keep in mind, friends, we'll remind you. I'll remind you on the grid. I'm sure people remind you on weekend. Monday is the 11 a.m. Eastern game, and it is Patriots Day, so that is the Eovaldi start against the Mariners. Yeah, the Mariners can't be too happy playing. I wonder if there are – oh, it's a wraparound, so they'll have been – no, that's the White Sox. I'm sorry. The White Sox won't have too much of a hard time getting used to the time limit. But weather permitting, it should be fine by Monday. And Rodriguez is a little rusty, I'd say. He's kind of like – he kind of looked like he did before he got the control better last time in 2019. Hmm. So, I mean, I think he'll get there again. But talking about Duncan and the Sox, if Eovaldi and Rodriguez – they're not aces, but it's like, you know, if they can beat a staff at the bottom half, it's not good for the playoffs. But, you know, we'll see. This is now the glass half full Zola talking. We shall find out.
I'm a little more nervous about Erod. I'm going to give him a 3, but just because it seems like, you know, since that dead arm, it doesn't feel like he's fully back, but he did go 5 strong against the Twins. Do you have an idea, like, how's his velo been? Is his velo back?
Yeah. I haven't noticed anything terrible. I mean, I wouldn't expect it to be midseason form.
It looks like mostly back, 92.6.
Yeah. I think what I figured was it was April back. It was back where it would normally be in April.
Good to know. Yeah, I haven't really seen him so far. But the versus Toronto as a lefty kind of scares me for Erod. So I'm going to go 3. Now for the White Sox, Kyle Hendricks. I've been waiting on Hendricks because he's been sick. Next start uncertain. That was a couple days ago. So again, this is tentative. He was scratched Tuesday with an illness. So we'll have to wait and see when he's back. But if he's getting 2 versus the Mets versus Milwaukee, I'd say that's a 5.
Sure, a couple home games, April. Yeah, that's a 5. He's a top 10 in the rankings.
And the rankings Todd's alluding to are his weekly pitcher rankings, which are a great resource. Ranked for mixed leagues and for AL and NL only. So thank you for all the work you put in, Todd. We'll look forward to that. This is kind of a, you know, complimentary pod and a preview, but and I'll be chiming in with my grades. But definitely check those out if you want a more definitive, you know, ranking for next week from Todd. Luis Castillo, my guy. You know, I got MLB The Show last night, Todd, my first outing. Was with Luis Castillo, got rocked early. Mike Trout gave up a homer.
So it's realistic.
It's very realistic. And the umpires were terrible. So the umpires' strike zones are actually really realistic this year. I was like throwing strikes and getting no calls. I'm like, what is this? So 7.04 ERA for Castillo so far, but versus Arizona at St. Louis, I mean, he's still a 5 for me.
Yep.
Nice. Zach Plesac, though, I'm actually worried about him for Cleveland because I have some Plesac. I was kind of a defender saying, yeah, he's kind of boneheaded, but he's really good. He, of course, got sent home for violating COVID protocols last year. And I was also willing to give him a pass for those spring training homers because I know in at least one game, the game where he gave up 4 in spring training, the wind was just blowing out like crazy. So I was like, all right, I'll take the little dip on Plesac. It's not looking good so far, Todd. He couldn't get out of the first inning against the White Sox. And he's a guy who I will bump down. I mean, I'm probably looking at like a 3 here because that Yankees start in particular is terrifying.
Well, you know where I stand on Plesac. It wasn't so much dunking on him as it was, well, I guess it is. If I'm saying I need to see it to believe it, then I guess it is a little bit reticent, hesitant. So he's high up in my rankings, but I may have projected for too many innings. I want to say a 4, but I'm going to go a 3 as well. The White Sox have gotten to him the last few times, and this is kind of a I'm overstepping or more subjective analysis than what the rankings say. The White Sox they got him the end of last year, and they got him, as you mentioned, a week ago, and the Yankees are still tough. So I'm going to give that a 3, but it's almost as if it's a – I almost feel like it's a 1, but I'm – you know, because I'm really, really scared.
Yeah.
But I'm giving it a 3 because, I don't have good feelings about Plesac. Still
neither. I'm pretty scared, but I am going to be trotting him out. And that's but I'm not willing to go any higher than a 3. Yankees aren't quite as scary right now. They just seem to be a little out of sync by the time that second start rolls around. You never know. They could be, on fire again. But right now they seem a little out of sync and out of sorts, that Yankees offense. But, Plesac, I'll be holding my nose, not watching, hoping for the best. John Gray. John Gray, any home start takes him out of the mix. So versus, these are both home starts. So that's going to be, honestly, a 0 for me on John Gray.
Yeah, I'll go there too. Yeah.
Now, I was writing up Austin Gomber's recap note, his rap note last night. I thought he looked pretty good. I was watching that game. He looked almost better than Urias, quite frankly. But he's home next week. But I thought I'd mention him because next week, the week of April 26th, at San Francisco, at Arizona for Gomber. So he's a guy on this show next week we may be giving 3s and 4s.
Right, but this is the week to get him, as you're kind of suggesting. No, and I think I was on Gomber. I think you may have been too coming into this season when he was still with St. Louis. It's kind of Gomber, Ponce de Leon, which one's going to be? Daniel Ponce de Leon. And it obviously turned out to be Ponce de Leon, but Gomber pitched well at the end of last season. So it's only one game this week in Colorado. I mean, start during a one gamer, but he's at the point where if he had a 2-start week, one of them in Colorado, he's into consideration. I mean, I think he's at that point.
Yeah, and 2 road starts, especially against those offenses San Francisco, at Arizona. I love that. So, yeah, maybe think about getting Gomber now, because if you try to get him next week, it'll probably cost you quite a bit more.
Yep.
Carlos Rodon, of course, threw that no-hitter, nearly perfect. Good for him. I love seeing that. I was not on him at all, given the injuries. Non-tendered, this guy. But he was adamant. Look, I'm only signing with a team that will give me another shot to start. And you got to love what he's doing so far. 2-0. I do expect in that first start against Boston, maybe his pitch count's a little limited. We saw that with Musgrove. And I could see that. You know, you don't want to go crazy with the guy, especially with his injury history after turning him loose for a no-hitter. But I think he's probably in that. Honestly, I don't know how you sit him after a no-hitter. So I'm going to go 5.
Yeah, I'll go 5 as well. And if you were drafting, he's a guy that you jumped up rankings late mean, people aren't going to make a projection change the last week, but he looked so good in the spring. You had to make a sort of subjective change with Rodon on your rankings and just take him when you're taking streamers, because why not?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, at that point, who cares? And it was, you know, kind of kicking myself for not, you know, in a FOMO draft, you know, that we all take that last week just because, you know, kind of kicking myself for not doing it. But I was with you. I mean, the injury, it was everything. You know, it's like, you know, I'll take every injury that could happen to a pitcher, you know, for 1,000 Aaron Rodgers, because it's not Alex Trebek anymore,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I can't. If anybody did capitalize on that, good for them. I just was not in on that party myself. But I love seeing it because that was exciting. Good for the game. We may see, like, a lot of no-hitters this year. We're kind of – we'll see. Well, but just already two is kind of surprising.
Yeah, April is one of the bigger months for no-hitters. I mean, pitching is better in April. The only issue with it is pitchers maybe not stretched out enough to go the full nine. It's always the question, but the pitch, he was very pitch efficient, et cetera. And everybody's giving, Josh Naylor so much plaudits for hustling, the sprint speed that he showed on that when Abreu beat him the bag. Why did you run? Why didn't you run through the bag? You're running so fast. Oh, gosh. I mean,
hasn't it been proven that running through the bag is quicker than sliding?
Only right, but I think Enoceris is the guy that was either involved or knows about the study. You have to dive perfectly. I mean, if you have to have the perfect dive. So if you otherwise you run through it, and I mean this is coming from someone who gets winded jogging their memory. Okay, so and I guess it's somewhat picking on Naylor, but I guess it's in general. The sprint speed was 2 or 3 ticks higher than normal. Why don't you run like that all the time? I mean, aren't these athletes paid? You know, I know I've had a bad podcast or two, so maybe I should be quiet. But shouldn't you give it your full game every? You know, if you're able to run that fast, run that fast all the time.
Speaking of Eno,
I don't know. That's
I was listening to Rates and Barrels the other day, and Eno made a point about Lance McCullers throwing his slider more, like a lot more.
That's true.
Derek Van Riper were talking about that with Lance McCullers and how he's got such a great curveball and the slider really doesn't grade out that well, but he's throwing it a ton. A little strange, but of course he vaccination shot symptoms and he was laboring a little bit. So you can kind of give him a pass there. At Colorado is a little scary versus LA. It's great. Maybe not great, but you obviously would like that for McCullers. And I think you're starting him. I do wonder why he's messing around with his pitch mix. Maybe he just thinks the slider is gonna unlock something. But kind of referred to as like a new toy thing, where he's just kind of maybe overthrowing the slider. Lance McCullers, Rates and Barrels. You probably heard of it.
Maybe. Now, what's the name of their podcast?
Yeah.
I thought it was the Lance McCullers Hour. I had it wrong. We don't have guys that we talk about all the time. Yeah. What's weird too is if it's an injury thing, at least on paper, the slider you would think would be more of an injury inducing pitch than the curve and the change, et cetera. So that is a little bit weird. But yeah, I'm gonna.
Oh, it's horrible.
I mean, Coors Field is Coors Field. It's ridiculously favorable. The Rockies lineup's not scaring anybody. So there's a little bit to that. I mean, I'm not going to use a mediocre pitcher in Coors because the Rockies lineup's bad, but I'd be more tempted to use a skilled pitcher, could, especially when you have a good second start like versus LA. So I'm going to give I'm going to give McCullers a 3 on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to give and him a 4.
I think he can get I can scrape by
skip Detroit
against the Rockies and then have a solid start against the Angels.
Now, Brad Keller, you mentioned that you've been Brad Kellered early on this season. I have, too, in the SiriusXM Dynasty League, putting me in an early hole with the ratios. Are you dropping him this weekend, Todd, or are you going to turn him loose for this two-step?
No. Versus Tampa and at Detroit, no. I'm turning him. He had a pretty decent a decent for Brad Keller third start. I mean, it was kind of what you expect from Brad Keller third start. So, no, I mean, if you've already dropped him, well, I mean, he can go back and pick him up, I suppose. But, no, at Tampa and Detroit, this is why we have him for this week. So the last start, five and two-thirds, 5 Ks, 1 walk against the Angels, who don't strike out a lot. So that's a good thing. So, yeah, he had, you know, bounced back. And
that's why
the first start was just, you know,
all the way nine
hits
five,
and six runs
so
and
far.
One and a third.
I got
that's
him
hard
a three.
To come back from.
Is that where you're at, too, or are you going to say four? Okay. Sure.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah, we actually, yeah.
I wasn't sure if you would
I will say a three,
on, so
but I'm starting
you clarified that for us. Yeah, you're kind of pot committed at this point. Real quick note, football season approaches, and you've got to check out these new best ball leagues on Underdog. Best ball is the ultimate test of your live draft skills since there's no in-season management. That's right. Draft your team, and Underdog automatically credits you with your best-performing players every week. You don't need to play the waiver wire or worry about trades. It's just the draft. Who doesn't love drafting? In Underdog best ball, you can draft as many times as you want because you don't have to do any roster management, saving you loads of time. Underdog's best ball leagues are drafting right now, starting at just $3. Once the season starts, Underdog also has daily fantasy and an all-new pick'em game. Go download the Underdog app now to get in on some best ball before the season starts. Enter promo code ROTOWIRE with your first deposit, and Underdog will honor a money-back guarantee during your first month. Love Underdog or get your money back with promo code ROTOWIRE. Search Underdog in your app store and enter promo code ROTOWIRE. We are grading next week's two-start options on a 0 to 5 scale. Dylan Bundy, I know some projections people, I guess Derek Cardy in particular, who comes to mind. Not really like a Bundy fan, but he's been pretty good. Still winless versus Texas at Houston. I think Bundy's kind of, he's not like a true ace, but I think he's in that 5 mix for me this week. Nice. Yeah, he's solid.
Yeah, I mean, I need to check the innings, but I've got him top 10 this week, so sure, for sure. And Texas doesn't scare anybody. I know they've had a couple of, you know, Nate Lowe.
No, it really doesn't. Dustin May.
Kiner Falapa
is
hitting at the top of the order. But that
San Diego apparently getting
lineup doesn't scare anybody.
Fernando Tatis back today. I'm shocked by that. Well, I'm looking forward to talking with Jeff Stotts on our XM show in a few hours to hear what he thinks and what kind of odds he gives Tatis on holding up. But for the Dodgers, again, May at Seattle versus San Diego, I think that's probably a 5. Dustin May, finally this stuff has manifested in Ks.
Yep, and he may not go 7.
That's so true. Now for Miami, Nick Neider.
Bullpen, when there's so many closer options,
tentatively,
that means there's a lot of good pitchers.
He didn't have a horrible, you know, showing in his, I guess it was his second start. He's already made a couple starts this year. Has not cleared 5 innings in either of them, though. So hard to think that, you know, maybe now he's a little more stretched out and can get a win. But, you know, the fact that he's gone below 5 innings in each of his first two makes me a little nervous. But versus Baltimore at San Fran, Nick Neider may be on some of my lists as a backup bid this week. That's true.
No, yeah. For sure. And, you know, Baltimore's already good enough, but it's an interleague squad at home. They're not going to have a DH. So whoever that might be, they're kind of rotating people through. I don't know if they have a regular DH at this point. But, yeah, no, I mean, the thing to do is check out what relievers may be coming in, because those are a couple winnable games. And I don't know that, again, I don't know that Miami has a reliever to go after either, but that's something I'm going to take a look into. And, you know, by Sunday night, we'll have a better feel.
Absolutely. And as you're saying,
someone to target
our batting orders
as a 2 or 3 inning reliever
that
week.
Have that rotating DH.
Those are two winnable games.
The other day, Ryan Mountcastle, DJ Stewart, Mountcastle, and then Mountcastle again. So. A lot of Mountcastle DH. I'd imagine he probably plays in the field, though. when they go to Miami. So I have Nitre as a 2, but would you go a little higher?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry if you gave that.
No, I'd go as a 2 with the asterisk that okay. We may want to take
Brandon Woodruff, I'm eating my words on him,
and
too,
picks him up.
He's been great. Not quite as dominant as Corbin Burns. I mean, my God, that guy's insane. But Woodruff at San Diego, at Chicago, that's a 5. And I'm going to stop second-guessing this guy.
Well, I normally come up with a cute headline based on the top pitcher. I'm going to have to think of a play on words for Woodruff this week.
Yeah.
No, not yet. No, these things take a while, Clay. These headlines, I think I work harder
too,
on my headline than I do the rankings, which is not a good thing.
San Diego next week,
I really
picked him up to stream him, I think, against Pitt tonight. I forget who Milwaukee's got tonight, but... Hauser, I've got my eye on, and you were a Hauser guy last year, so sliver of upside.
It's not so much wait and see with Hauser, but it's I'm definitely monitoring him, and he's definitely. I think I might probably have him in a couple draft champions just because of the pass love.
Yeah,
but
San Diego's
a guy like Hauser, I'm not
week,
concerned
so
with Woodruff and Burns.
Pick your spots.
But Hauser, I am concerned about the park.
I did add him and may try to in some 12s this week too. Jose Berríos at Oakland versus Pitt. That's a 5. Berríos has looked great so far too. Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
The first two starts were epic.
Yeah, the Red Sox got to him a little bit, but that's what you need to do. Yeah, it's a good lineup if you're patient and don't chase on Berríos.
He labors sometimes.
He gets long into the counts. You have a chance to get
passes,
to him.
But
if you do him favors, he'll crush
Taiwan
you.
Taiwan Walker 2.61 ERA so far at Chicago.
Yeah.
The Cubs. Then versus Washington. I'm a little scared chasing Walker here, but I'll give him a 3.
I'll give him a 3 as well. Again, that Cubs lineup is doing nothing. And Washington,
Jameson,
you know,
Tyone
they're capable.
The
they'll
versus
get there.
Atlanta.
They're turning. Actually, they're
at
they're
Cleveland.
It's
not been a good start
now.
For Jameson Tyone. And it seems like Ronald Acuna is leading off every single game with a home run. The guy's just 7 homers already. It's just silly. So Tyone, I guess I'll go like a 2, but I don't have him anywhere, so I'm not going to be like forced to make that call. But I could see bumping him down to 1, frankly.
I'll go 2. I'm gonna go 2 because he's a good pitcher. He will be pitching better, but Cleveland's an interesting start, a good start, but. But you're right. Atlanta is super scary right now, and they get to use a DH, right? They get another hitter. They get to use Johan Camargo.
Yeah, Riley hasn't.
They
been
get
very
to
good.
Put
took
Riley
him out of
at
a
DH and for today. And put a better fielder out there.
For Oakland, Jesus Luzardo, not a very good start so far for him. But versus Minnesota at Baltimore, let me look at Luzardo. How deep he's gone? Because I know, performance factors into how deep a guy goes, but, 5 and a third, then 2 and two-thirds. Okay, I mean, if he's going to go 5 pretty regularly, but I still probably give Luzardo, like, a 3.
Yeah, I'm going to have to be careful because I just made a big trade for Luzardo in the XFL, a pseudo dynasty league to be my ace for years and years to come. So I kind of a risk traded an unkeepable Jacob deGrom for Luzardo, turning down a couple of good young pitchers, but I just liked Luzardo. I'm going to go 4 because there was somewhat of a manager vote of confidence.
We'll recap these grades here in a bit.
Not that means a ton, but
and also the Baltimore Star is good enough for me. Copy and paste them,
I'll go for
a spreadsheet or something. Chase Anderson is, you know, he's actually not as bad as I have it in my head. He's been okay over the years. But anytime I see at Colorado, that just wipes him off the map for me. So I'm going to say zero.
I'm going to go. I just looking at it. The second start's enticing.
At Colorado.
I'm going to go with a one and just kind of hope you get lucky.
The second
in that
one
first
is at
one.
Colorado. The first one is versus.
And it's
San
kind of
Francisco,
it's a desperation move. Who was the second start? The second one, maybe the first one. Okay, so yeah, so
and
that, okay,
like
right,
you said, that
it.
Rockies off.
So yeah,
they were sitting.
I'm going to go with
story
one
last
just
night
because hey, maybe that second one's canceled.
And they even got to Julio Urias for a few runs, but it was just the bottom half of that order is just like a double A lineup. Yeah, he had an RBI hit last night, but he's not been doing much.
My guy Crone, my guy
now, Tyler
Crone
Anderson
needs to get
for
it going.
Pittsburgh, 4.02 ERA, but a 1.47 WHIP. Only 14 Ks through three starts. I mean, I guess that is 15 and two-thirds innings only, but I'm going to say a zero for Tyler Anderson. Yeah, I can't.
Well, the Detroit's
going to
make him
Joe
a
Musgrove,
one,
Chris Paddock. Musgrove's
not,
a five.
Not a happy
Paddock,
one.
Paddock, I know he got the win against Pittsburgh, but he was pretty iffy in that outing even. Even a road start in Pittsburgh. So I'm going to probably say Paddock a 3 versus Milwaukee at LAD, but that's kind of scary. You got
I don't know. Anybody who eats a whole pizza before he pitches, man, he's a 5 in my book. Yeah, a little concerned, you know, the jokes about the needing another Rob Silver, you know, he must get a pepperoni pizza
kind of
because he needs another topping. Things like that.
Means
good
he needs
stuff on
pitch.
Twitter about once that
because
came out.
Only
up,
that
but,
changeup works. The fastball has been crushed since last year.
Right. Yeah. Let's go with a tough matchups.
Toward the end here.
I'm
going to
go with
a
3,
for
but
Seattle.
It's a hold your nose 3.
I want to know if Jared Kelnick will be up by next week. And maybe I know they said he wasn't a replacement for James Paxton, but also Logan Gilbert potentially soon with the team gaining the extra year control. For San Francisco, Kevin Gausman, Logan Webb at Philadelphia versus Miami. Gausman, he had a little bit of a stumble in the first inning against Cincinnati, but he's been really good otherwise. So I'm going to give Gausman a 5. Logan Webb, I guess he was moved to the bullpen, but now that Johnny Cueto's hurt, we're projecting him again. So Logan Webb, I'm going to probably say a 1 just because he should probably be on your radar. And I had him as, you know, I liked him as a streamer early on and kind of let me down. So maybe I've just been burned, but I don't think I'm going to be going back to that well in many spots myself. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, it kind of had a good spring. I'm going to go on 1 as well. And to me, he's not an automatic drop. It's let's see what he does this week. Because who knows? Maybe the little, you know, being sent to the bullpen jarred him a little bit, and now he gets it back in gear. And Philly's good. They haven't gotten it going yet.
Sounds like
it's
we're
a dangerous
locked
offense.
Up there. You have Gausman
and,
a 5.
Miami also has not gotten it going yet, but that one's at home.
Okay. Now, Jack Flaherty at Washington versus Cincinnati. This guy's still a 5 for me. I mean,
I do.
The Reds,
yes,
I know
do.
They got off to a really hot start, but that's not a matchup that scares me.
No, it's a 5, and they're starting to loosen the reins a little bit on Flaherty.
No kidding.
He's got, like,
yeah,
the
I think
kid
it's about
gloves.
Time
he's got kid mittens now, not kid gloves.
Off. Josh Fleming, tentatively listed here, at Kansas City versus Toronto.
Really?
Fleming, of course, of the Tampa Bay Rays. Pretty good start for Fleming, but I just don't really trust this guy. And plus, you look at him and what he's done so far. He did go 5 against Texas. Actually, you know, I may give him like a 3. Yeah.
I'm going to give him a 2, and he's another guy that I'm curious to see what relievers we may feel might pick him up because, you know, again, the Tampa relievers are already on a roster anyway, but that could be a game where I don't think it's called a bullpen game, but, you know, come to think of it,
yeah,
I haven't once this year, because I do the daily notes for ESPN, I haven't once this year actually called a game a bullpen game. I mean, Morihone, there's some starters that may only go 3 or 4 or 5, but to me, I mean, I'm 3 or 4. A bullpen game's still, a 1 or 2 winning start. Everybody, even the Texas, Lyles and Dunning. So I haven't actually referenced a game being a bullpen game yet. And everybody's all worried about that. We're going to have so many of them. I know starters aren't going as deep.
Yeah,
but
I hear you. Absolutely.
But still, the plan is still Arihara, to have a conventional
Texas
starting
pitcher.
Got his
first big league win earlier this week. Congrats to him. I'm still skeptical, though, and at LAA, at the White Sox, two pretty scary matchups. So I'm going to actually say a 1, and I'm only giving him that so that you hold on to him because I don't think he's a drop. Mm-hmm.
No, I can go with that. And the Angels have been hitting right-handers pretty well. Yeah. A lot of that has to do with Mike Trout. Certainly not Justin. Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Certainly not Justin Upton. But, I mean, we don't talk about Brandon Marsh as much as Kelenic and Kirilloff. But
it's
about
Marsh
time. We started talking about Brandon Marsh.
Pretty close and
not
probably
talking about Justin Upton.
Because defensively, too, I think he's in a pretty big upgrade. Actually, Ralph Lifshitz, now known as Jeff Ponce, but he's mentioned that he thinks Marsh is maybe the best defensive outfielder in that organization right now. So, I mean, a boost offensively and defensively could be coming from Marsh. Oh, nice. Yeah,
and I got him in that DeGrom trade, too. I got him in that DeGrom trade, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. I know our buddy
ooh,
Ian Kahn, if he's
like
listening to this podcast, he's
now for
he's
Toronto,
right now
no two-star pitchers next week. They only got
trade.
5, and they actually only got 5 the following week, too, which is a little frustrating. So I mentioned I like Alek Manoah, but they may not need him, actually, even with those injuries. I do still like him as a stash, but if you can't stash, I get it. Finally, Joe Ross versus St. Louis at the Mets. I've been burned one too many times by Joe Ross, but I'll give him a 1 to put him in that Kohei Arihara mix.
I'll give him a 2 because he's not
nice.
Pitched
well,
badly.
We will recap.
I mean, it's nowhere
our
near
two-star pitcher grades for the week
fuzzy,
of April 19th, 2021.
Just well enough to be dangerous.
Zach Gallen, 5. Nate Eovaldi, 4. Eduardo Rodriguez, I got a 3. Todd, 4. Kyle Hendricks, 5, assuming he's over his illness. Luis Castillo, 5. Zach Plesac, 3. John Gray, 0. Carlos Rodon, 5. Lance McCullers, I got a 4. Todd, 3. Brad Keller, 3. Dylan Bundy, 5. Dustin May, 5. Nick Neidert, 2. Brandon Woodruff, 5. Jose Berrios, 5. Taijuan Walker, 3. Jameson Taillon, 2. Jesus Luzardo, I say 3. Todd, 4. Chase Anderson, I got a 0. Todd, 1. Tyler Anderson, I got a 0. Todd, 1. Joe Musgrove, 5. Chris Paddock, 3. Kevin Gausman, 5. Logan Webb, 1. Jack Flaherty, 5. Josh Fleming, I say 3, Todd 2. Kohei Arihara, 1. Joe Ross, I say 1, Todd 2. Todd, I really appreciate your insight. We'll look forward to checking out your weekly pitcher rankings on the site. But anything else on your mind on this Friday morning?
Snow, go away. Come again next winter. I was quickly looking to see what other pitchers are previewing this week. Dinelson Lamet, we've got coming off the IL this week.
Oh, yeah, I think
week.
So.
Has he been out? No, right. This will be his debut this week, right?
Yeah, Lamet. Sonny starts this weekend.
Yeah, and Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray's supposed to go over the weekend, right? So Sonny Gray, some just guys to dust off of your IL, make sure you get these guys active. But the players that are supposed to be good at baseball are starting to be good at baseball again. So, you know, the excitement of the first couple weeks is over. You know, things are settling down.
Yeah,
and a lot of day baseball, which is nice for those of us that can
watch
baseball during the day.
Here on this pod, trying to do our best to help you bring home a championship this year. We're still very early, so just keep your head down, keep grinding. I keep having to tell myself it's not a 2-month season. You know, leagues, you're off to a bad start, and it's not the end of the world.
Well, what a
that's amazing. Well, thank you, Todd. Thank you all for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next Friday on the two-start edition of the WireWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast.